great. You are going to want to sit next to people. Welcome, welcome. Shuffle on in because I'm going to get you guys talking. Great, come join. Now, before I tell you who I am and where I'm from, make sure that you have met some people around you that you haven't come with. Where are they from? What is their connection to students? Why are you sat in this seminar? Why are you interested in the university dwelling population of the world? And just make some friends quickly. Let's try and find out who's in the room, because there's a small enough number here that feedback can be good. If it's full, we wouldn't be able to do it from the front, but I think we can. I'm just going to get you to shout out where you're based in terms of where you live. So not where you're from, because I know that some people, like German Lily over there, isn't actually in Germany. So I want you to say the context, like where you live, where you're from, aka where you might be either a student or reaching students. And we'll start with Edwin, and then we'll go along like that. Okay, go.
Edwin in the Netherlands. I work with students.
Great.
I'm German Lily in England, and I work for 20% Pro students.
Sorry that I nicknamed you there. Yeah, name and place where you're reaching students, don't need to nickname yourself, sorry.
My name's Ralph, I'm in Manchester.
Manchester.
My name's Chris, I'm in the southeast of England.
Whereabouts?
Margate.
Margate, lovely.
I'm Elias, I'm here in Switzerland.
Which bit of Switzerland?
Right on the edge of the German and the French-speaking part.
Because apparently there's German, French and Italian-speaking Swiss all in the same sort of place. I'm confused. Welcome.
Germana, Derby in England.
Derby, good, yeah.
John, Guildford.
Strong, Guildford.
Giles, Worcester.
Worcester, lovely.
Mark, Rotterdam.
Rotterdam, welcome, sir.
Thank you. Marnix, also from Rotterdam.
Another Rotterdam, well done.
Woo. Sam, German-speaking part of Switzerland.
German-speaking part of Switzerland, because there's a difference we now know, thank you.
I'm Nick as well from Rotterdam.
Rotterdam, great.
I'm Dan from Nottingham.
Nottingham, yes.
Emma, Nottingham.
Another Nottingham, now you guys have met.
Isabel Stampley Hope.
Say that again.
Isabel Stampley Hope.
Stampley Hope, yep.
I'm Hannah, I'm from Nijmegen, Netherlands.
Netherlands, welcome.
Annelies, also from Netherlands.
Great.
Denise, Netherlands.
Cracking.
Oh, I'm Denise.
Guildford. Guildford, lovely. Another Denise, weird. Next to each other.
Chris, Guildford.
Well done.
Holly, London.
Whereabouts in London? It's a big city.
Russell Square.
Russell, sure. Okay, central, lovely.
Hannah Guildford,
lovely. Well done. Where are you from?
Switzerland.
Well done! I'm Miriam and I'm from York in the north of England. A very pretty city that, if you Google it, just looks like a castle. So it's ace, because I've got no sense of direction at all. So when you walk out the train station at York, you just hit Castle Wall. If you're inside the Castle Wall, you're basically stuck in a little soup bowl, and it's 10 minutes around the whole city. And anywhere you go, you can see the cathedral, and that's how you don't get lost. Also, we've got a chocolate factory on the outskirts of the city. So when the wind blows in the right direction, the whole place smells of chocolate. Apparently, I think we're the home of Kit Kats, not sure. But basically, the Nestlé factory's there. So imagine castles, cobble streets, river, chocolate, York. You're welcome. That's where I live. That's not why I went to university there, but it's a good reason why I stayed, to be fair. So I'm 28, just turned. I graduated 5 and a bit years ago, and I was studying at York, did a degree in nothing to do with what I do with now, and yet at the same time, highly relevant for what I do now. So if any of you are thinking, what relevance does my studying have, be surprised what God will do with it. So I studied writing, directing, and performance, so particularly looking at theatre, having no idea that student work was a thing. I didn't know. So I knew about kids' work, because of church, knew about youth work, because there's quite a big culture of it, particularly in the UK. We've got a strong youth work culture, probably about 25, 30 years old. But I didn't know there was such a thing as student work, let alone student mission. So although I was raised in the church family, that was news to me. And didn't know that I could lead, didn't know, have any idea that I would lead a church, didn't know I could preach, any of the things that I now think are normal, I actually learned as a student. One of the key values I've realised about doing student work is that you inherit teenagers and you get to help raise them into the adults they're going to become when they leave uni. What are you going to instill in them and what are we going to be raised as? Because when I showed up at a new church, my little church called G2 in York, when I showed up, I was always known as my dad's daughter, right? Because my dad had been a church leader. So I was always so-and-so's kid. And actually, for my teenage years, even when I wasn't in Dad's church, I was in a church that didn't have women leading. I've not got a chip on my shoulder about it, I just didn't know it was possible. So it meant that growing up in my teenage years, I did the worship, I did the kids' work, I had a great time telling my friends about Jesus, bringing my school friends to church, doing Alpha with them. No idea that what leadership meant, and I didn't actually know that I was an evangelist. When I showed up at university, I was talking as if I knew what that meant. And then somebody articulated to me what I was already doing in terms of bringing my housemates to church who didn't know Jesus, and just naturally thinking part of the reason you're a student must be to share Jesus with students, right? So then I began to realise, oh, that's a thing, like that's part of how God's made certain people in the church to help the church with that whole deal. And then I discovered there was such a thing as a leader. And then I discovered that in the church that meant you kind of served but also got to see some vision become possible. And all this extraordinary stuff of growing up being a student, just by being in a new context where they didn't know who I was, didn't know who my parents were, but they just kind of asked, God, what are you doing with this new teenager in front of us? What might be in her and how do we raise her? How do we bring it out? Which is why I love that you guys are here as supporters of students, because if we don't have spiritual parents, big brothers and sisters, and people backing us up as we enter this life stage, the greenhouse of growing up, that will make a remarkable difference to how you journey off into adulthood. So I was a student, shared Jesus with my housemates, recognised this is a dynamite time of life, right? Living in community 24/7 with people of your generation, this doesn't happen again like this. A concentration of thousands, there's like cities within cities when it comes to universities, right? So yes, you've got your city population, but every campus is like a miniature culture, a miniature city. But we're shoulder to shoulder with each other. Unlike any other time in life for your adult life, you will live, breathe, work, sleep, eat, rest, study, and do all your hobbies in the same community and context. That is remarkable when it comes to living out Jesus 24/7. When it comes to your friends, seeing what actually does the Holy Spirit, what difference does he make day to day? Because there's one thing to see your colleagues at work and to know that they go to church on a Sunday. It's another thing to watch your housemate get up every Sunday and say, you're welcome to join me if you like. Go to the family get-together. Come home to the kitchen table. Explain what you've just been told at church. And then go out on a night out with them that evening. But in the nightclub, shine something different. That speaks volumes in a way that we don't get another opportunity. So you start to see that being a student is dynamite. It's a short amount of time, but a dynamite amount of time. And I remember when I first started working for the organisation I work for now, you come across church leaders saying, oh, we don't really invest in students because, you know, they're a nightmare. They come, they're here for 3 years, but only 6 months of the year, and then they go again. And, you know, then we have to just send them back off again, you know, so we don't bother. And I thought, actually, that's extraordinary, isn't it? When you look at Jesus having only 3 years of active ministry with his disciples, that's degree time, right? And yet, from that little hub of just having a go at investing and sending, look where we are today. You need to have been called to student mission as a student and beyond your student years, but well done for getting it. So when I graduated, I started working for an organisation called Fusion. And we basically are siblings with 24/7 prayer, which is why we're here, which is why we work super close. We were kind of born out the same breath, actually the same prayer space as 24/7 prayer. Hilariously, a movement pioneered by Roger Ellis, who's on the 24/7 prayer leadership, he started Fusion having never been to uni. So you know it's from God when God says, start a movement among university students through local church, and Roger goes, I literally haven't got my GCSEs. I didn't pass my exams, Lord. I'm never going to university. He was the guy to start a university movement, which is still rolling out today. And in a nutshell, what Fusion does is helps any and every local church reach students. So on the ground in the UK, I don't expect freshers to know the name of Fusion. I do expect every university location to have local churches sharing Jesus and reaching students. Behind the scenes, Fusion is like an engine, like pouring petrol on the fire of the local church for student mission. So we're very much in that sense behind the scenes, which means each of you guys and representing your student community, the whole point of Fusion would be to lean behind you and be your biggest cheerleaders. Not to do it for you, but to see how you might reach out in your context. And we do everything through local church. Now, I'll tell you a little bit of a story about where the UK's got to, partly because some of you may not have ever been to the UK before or have a picture of what's going on in God's church in the UK. And I partly want to tell you because it's an exciting story. And secondly, because that will springboard into our conversations around Europe. What do we think God's doing in Europe? And, for example, why us as Fusion? Why we felt God say, you need to start working in Europe 18 months ago. There's very much a reason for that. And part of our sense would be that stuff that's happened in the UK is going to happen much quicker, and probably in some cases much better, faster, more fruitful than it has in our ground. But we will learn from each other because we're the same family. So quick history of the... A little snapshot of some of the UK stuff. Over the last, like I said, I didn't know that student work was a thing, right? And it wasn't, but now it is. So 15, 20 years ago, where youth work was becoming a known thing and, in fact, a no-brainer, it would be silly not to have a youth worker. It would be silly not to do talks and sessions and discipleship aimed at teenagers. In the same way that shift happened in church culture, we have now seen that same shift happen in the UK church. 15, 16 years ago, you could count the number of local church student workers, people that were saying, as a priority in my local church family, we're going to reach students in the campus on our doorstep. You could count 15 years ago, I'd be surprised. What you now see 15 years later is literally hundreds of full and part-time student workers. People who are both current full-time students who have also taken on that role, all the way through to it is a paid member of staff in a church where they wouldn't have even prioritised it 4 years ago. We have seen a culture shift happen in the UK church. Student work is now a thing, a growing thing. Another kind of encouragement for you. 7 years ago, Fusion, we were connected to about 250 to 300 local churches. They were churches that signed up and said, yes, as a local church, we want resourcing for reaching students. They're either ascending church, so when you turn 18, they'd be the ones to equip you for university culture as missionaries and send you out to your new uni location, or receiving churches. And in the UK, unlike some other places, we move house. It's happening less now because of money, but basically students move and they leave home at 18. 6-7 years ago, maybe 300 churches on the map. Today, 1,600 churches signed up and going, we reach students. We either send them well, receive them well, or in lots of cases, both. That is a remarkable amount of growth. When I started for Fusion 5 years ago, I would go to locations to find churches to put on the map and say, please, can you welcome the freshers? Can we link you up? What's going on here at the moment? How can we support you? Now, we actually don't go to find churches because they're coming in every day. Every day we've got a new sign up coming in. Every day someone's joining the student mission map. A tipping point has happened in the UK and the local church has gone, we're in. That's encouraging. If you're a UK student, be encouraged. It has never been a better time to be a student in the UK following Jesus. But there's been an explosive growth moment. Which is again what I think, which is what we're praying for Europe now, right? So in the UK now, we have a map. Every single university location have local churches reaching students. And student work is a thing. So that is a change, a culture change that's happened. Hence, I now have a job and a thing that wasn't even a job 10 years ago, right? Bizarre, but it's now a thing. And people are graduating and beginning to say, I still feel called to reach students where they didn't even know that was possible before. That's exciting. In terms of, okay, I'm going to ask you a question now, in fact, just out of interest, and this, no matter what nation you're from, I've talked a little bit about this idea of sending young people to university really well, deliberately, and receiving them really well and deliberately. So in the UK, the stats would be roughly, and this is based on the ground, because when you work with that many, you can kind of take quite a good test of, are your young people still following Jesus 6 months into going to university, right? We'll ask that question quite openly. The stat would be that about 70% of Christian young people don't seem to land in Christian community when they've left home. That would be the stat, a huge drop-off rate, right? So part of the reason Fusion exists is we do something called student link-up, does what it says on the tin. Links young people as you leave home. You sign up Student Link Up and you get introduced to new churches and new student workers. Like Ralph in Manchester, if I was going to study in Manchester, I'd sign up to Student Link Up using the free app and Ralph would message me and say, Miriam, welcome to Manchester. This is what's going on for us on Sunday, but I'm actually on campus on your first week of term. Can I grab a coffee with you and I'll introduce you to some other students that have just started? And I've got a welcome point, a person who knows my name, and an invite to church. That's what Student Link Up does. Have you ever been prepared for university culture? Have you ever heard of anyone doing that? Did anybody tell you about being sent well? How were you sent to university? Have you had any spiritual preparation for the huge life stage that you've entered when you become a student? Do you have any experience of preparation for uni? Just have a chat with people next to you, just to find out really how that's going for you. Go. Hands up if anyone got any preparation from their church to go to university. Did anyone's churches prepare them? Well done. One, two. Okay. Hands up if anybody got prepared just by like asking mates that had gone ahead to uni and did a bit of research themselves around that shift. Did anyone do a bit of research? This isn't just the UK that has a huge drop-off rate when people leave home and change life stage. We all know, actually, any transition is a moment of change that can either make or break a faith. Just as some people try church for the first time, like Emma over here that just got saved a year ago because she decided to try the faith thing when she left home for uni. So there's a huge opportunity there. There's also a huge opportunity for people to not prioritise it because their parents aren't driving them to church anymore and their youth group isn't just down the road. And it's going to take some effort, some confidence. And if they don't meet people they think they're going to connect with quite quickly, it also gets to feel a bit awkward. And before you know it, you're out of a habit. So we've seen a huge drop-off in the UK, which is partly why Fusion decided we must do something to bridge the gap. We must do something to prepare people as missionaries and church as a priority, mission as a focus, not an afterthought, where by Christmas you go home to visit the parents, go to church at Christmas and go, oh yeah, I really should get this together at uni, but I sort of haven't, which is a normal story. So that's, I'm going to kind of leave you with that challenge, that the vast majority of the room has no preparation for uni or plan for transition, because you lot, it's kind of too late now, in the sense that thank Jesus you're still here and following him, but who are the teenagers behind you, and what are we going to do about that, right? Because we've got some younger siblings coming up, and the stats aren't good. The other thing in the UK is we reckon about 99% of students aren't actively following Jesus. So if you think about the parable of the sheep, and there was 99 safely in the fold and one on the mountainside, and the shepherd left the 99 to go and find the one lost sheep, flip the stat. There's one in the fold, there's 99 on the hillside when it comes to student mission. In any given uni location, when we take the population of that city, you've got maybe, I can count on my hands, the anomalies where the stat's higher than 1%. But apart from that, of all the uni locations, of which there's kind of 70 main uni locations, but lots of other campuses in the UK, to find even 1% of a student population connected to a church, even when we're being generous, we're really struggling. For example, Oxford, big key city in terms of spiritual inheritance and student mission inheritance, when we try to be super generous, we couldn't even find 3% of the population engaged in church, and that is in a Christian foundation university with lots of colleges that have chapels with them, right? Leeds, 80,000 students. We don't know 800 of those students in church across a huge city like Leeds. So we're aware that to do student work means you do student mission, because you don't have a student work unless you're reaching people that don't yet know Jesus. They aren't default showing up to our churches. The UK no longer has because it's to be a Christian or because that's what everyone else is doing. Everyone else isn't doing it, and it isn't particularly socially advantageous if you've grown up on the British playgrounds. You know, that you will have been a minority. If you still follow Jesus into your 20s and can confess to it, I guarantee you're probably a real Christian, because it will have cost you something going through secondary school in the UK. It will have cost you something going through Freshers' Week still representing Jesus. Now, the exciting thing about the UK is that because people aren't showing up at our churches, we've had to get creative with mission. So this has looked like loads of things. The church is breaking out the mould and breaking the box all over the place. You'll get a chance in the round table, which we'll go on to from this and get a proper chance to discuss. You'll get a chance to hear from Ralph how they're like pioneering new ways of doing student mission on campus right now. That up and down the country, you've got missional communities, people gathering together like family, but living with an outwards invitation. You've got nightclub ministry is now normal. 10 years ago, that was extraordinary. Now, student unions up and down the country have churches helping them run their nights out with a chill out room and a prayer space within a nightclub. We do water bottling, we do glow sticks, we get on the street with the bouncers, we help the police. That is normal student mission, where that used to be creative and extraordinary. I'd say that's now pretty normal. The idea of people ministering to people on nights out, normal. The idea of students now having a go at following Jesus, not in just Christian societies, but in every society on campus, that's the conversation going on at the moment. How do you, as a disciple of Jesus, be a disciple of Jesus and lead the football team? How do you lead for Christ on the rugby team, in the dance society, in the theatre society, in the poetry society? The church is starting to discuss, how do we blur the boundaries now? Because you can't live a there's only so many lives you can live. And at uni, when your life's being watched 24/7, it actually matters just as much how you worship on a Sunday as how you worship on a Friday night, as how you worship on your sports team, as how you worship in your lecture halls. So the conversations going on in the UK church now would be, how do we raise students to be leaders in every sphere of influence on their campus and then in society? Because if you've managed to navigate the rugby team following Christ, you're probably going to do a better job at navigating your accountancy firm and your Friday night work nights if you've already done it at uni. How do we help you guys be leaders in all those spheres of influence outside of a Christian bubble, but distinctive enough and supported enough that you know who you are in Jesus as you do it? That's the kind of conversation going on. A year and 2 months ago, I finished a road trip where basically we got a camper van, a 40-year-old bright orange VW camper van, beautiful bay window tyre on the front, like proper retro VW. And we basically did something called the road trip. So I drove to every university doing on the ground. And if we don't see much, let's start something, right? So we spent 2 years as Fusion driving around all over the UK to listen to the story of the church, to take students on the road with us, and to drum up this idea of adventure and actually getting to everywhere in the UK, because everywhere in the UK, God can be doing something. So there's extraordinary moments of pioneering mission by getting out of our comfort zones and just doing something a bit stupid. And that van was a nightmare because it's 40 years old. It broke down a lot. I had to jump start it in the rain and the snow a lot. But it meant that over 2 years, we covered the UK with prayer and student mission as a priority. Now, I know when I've talked to Americans about this story, that is much more difficult for them to do. Right? Or the Canadians are like, it would be quicker for us to meet in London than to meet in another bit of Canada. That's how ridiculous that country is. But when Edwin goes and road trips around every campus in your country in 24 hours? 48 hours, 2 days every campus. You start to think, hold on, in Europe, we have got an extraordinary opportunity to cover the ground with prayer and to really hear what God's doing in every campus. Unlike any other nation, and the other continents are going to really struggle, but we can do things like camper van road trips and stupid prayer vigils all the way through the night. We actually can do it because of the context that we live in. So please understand, as we get bold in mission, Europe is an interesting context that everyone else is a little bit jealous of because of how well linked up and how close we can get to hearing the story of God in our neighbouring cities. So let's tip into Europe a little bit now. Some of you will have a sense of Europe, some of you won't have really thought beyond your own city or context before. And I would have been in that camp until pretty recently, because it was only recently that I've began to switch on to Fusion being called Beyond the UK. If you have any sense of your own nation, how would you summarise, for somebody next to you who isn't from your nation, how do you think the student generation in your country, how are they doing? How are they spiritually? What are they hungry for? What is a real challenge to them coming to know Jesus, and what is a huge opportunity? Do you feel like your students are awake to God or asleep to him? What do you think the spiritual temperature is of your context at the moment? Because we must begin to think about what God might be doing on our continent, and that actually starts with the story of your own experience. So have a chat with the people next to you. What do you think is going on in the UK, in the Netherlands? What's going on? What does it feel like? Have a chat. Okay, let's let each other in on these conversations a little bit. So I'll start by asking Edwin about his context, and I want to know, what is probably the biggest challenge, you think, for students coming to know Jesus in your context, and what's maybe the biggest opportunity? So I'll let Edwin answer that first, but then I'd love to hear from some of your contexts, your cities, your nations. Biggest challenge to students coming to know Jesus, biggest opportunity that you kind of see?
I think for the Netherlands, the biggest challenge is students are saying that they're very busy. So I think that's a big challenge.
Yeah, that's good.
Because they have to like graduate in 3 years and do a master maybe, and they so the pressure is on. But and spiritually, I think maybe a little bit rude to say, but I sense that lots of students just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't think about. They just live their life and just don't think about, hey, who's Jesus or where I'm from. I think that's it changed a little bit. I see sort of a tendency of, well, yeah, how do you say it, in sort of just, yeah, I don't care. So
yeah,
I think that's
apathy,
like,
yeah.
That's a big challenge. An opportunity is that we come in, like, the Netherlands is a Christian nation, and but it was a Christian nation.
Uh-huh.
And so we're entering into a phase now where I think most of the people haven't heard about Jesus because they weren't attending a church, or they only had like some prejudices. Sorry for my and for it, because they don't actually know who Jesus is. So
yeah,
if you are bold as a student, as a Christian, and you say, "Hey, can I pray for you?" Everybody's up for it, I think, because so it's not so they don't care. But they're open for it. So
it's
just introducing Jesus to them is like a big opportunity.
It's good.
Be bold.
Hands up who would agree with that for their nation. I certainly resonate with apathy, but also, yeah, you're also nation,
apathy,
aren't you?
That's the word.
Apathy, but also, I literally didn't know about Jesus. So there's a huge opportunity with that. Anyone else want to share what they think some of their challenges and opportunities are? What else is in student culture? Go for it, why not?
We didn't really talk about it between us, but I think in my uni at the moment, a big problem that I've noticed is the real lack of confidence and insecurity.
Yeah, true.
So with a lot of the kind of young women, it's over how they look, how they're perceived. Obviously, there is the whole romantic side of things, but also just in friendships, what's their status socially? And then
mm-hmm.
for the young men as well, it's have they got that kudos, are they admired, are they respected? And I think it's an identity issue as much as anything else. So
yeah, very good identity issue. Yeah.
So whilst there is the whole apathy thing, I kind of think the problem starts a lot earlier because people don't have an identity to start with, and that's why they're apathetic, because they don't realise how or the impression I get is that they don't realise how little they think of themselves.
Yeah, very good insight. Great. Do you want to share?
Yeah. Just in Worcester, I'd say I'm not a student, but our church supports a lot of students.
Yeah, wonderful.
There's a bunch of students we have at Worcester have really changed our church, actually, in an amazing, incredible way. So they're serving right across the board. It's
yeah.
not just their own little student life, but they're getting into the heart of the church family, which is really
brilliant.
It's been amazing to see and really exciting. And so kind of looking from the outside in to the life
Good.
Of Worcester campus, it would probably be a sense that people are definitely longing for a community.
Very true.
I think there's a sense of Worcester Uni students anyway, definitely when you chat to people, when the students of Bolton do bring along people who have not been to church before, the first thing they love is that there's a sense of community about the church.
100%.
But I think the challenges within that is making the church relevant enough to them that's the community they want to be a part of.
Yeah, very good.
So too often they look at the church and go, actually, I'm not too sure that's the community I choose to spend my time in, where I could be doing, being part of other communities.
Great, thank you. Yeah, family, community, very, very important.
A student again after 40 years. So
well done.
Comparing what it was like then compared to now. I've observed that students now seem to have a lot more anxiety about career and finances than they used to. It's really serious now.
Yes.
So that's the challenge. I think the opportunity is that the university population is now so more culturally diverse, including faith diversity as well. And if you're a Christian, yeah, that's okay. I find that refreshing. It's acceptable in a way that it wasn't 40 years ago, because there's all sorts of faiths on the campus.
Yes, true. So just for the recording, that's anxiety around work and finances, but opportunity and acceptance of the novelty of being a Christian. Yeah, yeah, go for it. One more, yeah.
So I think there are two other things. One of the things is that that is holding students back, I guess, it's the pressure what Edwin was saying already, but also the easy way out in going for drinks or going for drugs or
mm-hmm.
going for isolation
mm-hmm.
instead of being in a good community. So not knowing where to look for the answers that they for the questions that they have actually. But the thing that is interesting, I guess, is that a lot of the parents already rebelled against religion.
Right.
So the kids are actually free of that, and maybe
true.
They're more interested in religion because of that.
Yeah, agreed.
So that's an opportunity as well.
Yes, very good. When parents have rejected the religion, it means that the kids actually don't have the baggage around it.
Good.
Great.
Smart guys.
great. That's the beginning of the conversation and to be honest, in the student roundtable we'll be able to really culturally dig in a bit more to what we're learning from each other's cultures, because we'll have a coffee and have a proper time to discuss, and you'll get to scribble down some stuff as well, because we'll give you some notebooks. So I know that's a huge question to ask you, to culturally analyse your nation and then test the spiritual temperature of it. Helpful for you to even be asked that, though, because it is very, very easy to become your church family and your campus culture, and even just visiting another campus and praying on it, and you will spot the difference. And it makes you more aware of what is going on your campus, what people are worshipping, even in how students dress. Every city's got a different uniform. Every campus has a different uniform. The road trip, that was one of the biggest things I learned, was what was acceptable and normal in each university city wasn't necessarily the same thing. And how you shared Jesus in one place would not make sense for another campus, and they could be down them, whether it was Polytechnic that just trained a certain area of teachers, for example, a completely different approach. Really interesting. So it's helpful to begin to think, what's my context? One of the things that Fusion, we tried to address in terms of our student culture, which is partly to do with Christians being a bit safe and living in a bit of a bubble, and students being a bit apathetic and basically going for the default easy options rather than doing hard things that might actually lead to fruitful life and more adventure, is that we started to have a conversation around how do we get students being a bit more bold and brave and adventurous and out there? How are you going to share your faith with the 99% that don't know Jesus unless you take a deep breath and have a go, right? You're going to have to step out your comfort zone at some point, and your comfort zone is probably at the end of people that are fine with Jesus. And then you get into someone where you don't know what the reaction will be, and it's a little bit scarier, particularly if they're your housemates, because the stakes are higher, because you actually have to see them the next day, right? So we're thinking, how do we help students be more bold and courageous? And so we invented something, which we can't quite put down to whose idea it was, so we're going to say the Holy Spirit, called Escape and Pray. And in fact, Breakout, which you've heard plugged already on this conference, that unashamedly they've nicked it from Escape and Pray. Praise Jesus, because there's no copyright in the kingdom, right? So here's the premise for Escape and Pray. Imagine being put in this situation. You get into a team of 2 to 4 friends. You pick your team, that's fine. You sign up and give Fusion £100 or €100 of your hard-earned cash, okay? / student loan. You pay Fusion £100 and you give us dates, okay? And you show up at a chosen airport on a chosen date. You show up with no bag. You can have a rucksack. You are not going to check anything in, and you are not going to drag anything along. You show up with your passport and you are given a bright orange envelope. In that envelope, an hour and a half before you get on a plane, you open the envelope and it reveals plane tickets to a mystery destination in Europe. You then have an hour and a half before you go where you fly and spend 48 hours in somewhere where you don't know anyone, you have no plan, and your entire agenda is to go and be a blessing to the city. Every person on your team gets €20 each. That won't be enough in Geneva to get you a cup of coffee. But it won't be enough to get you 2 nights accommodation anywhere. That there are no rules. So you might give that money away on the spot. You may take a phone with you, you might not. We advise don't take a bank card. Some people did, most people didn't. 48 hours in an unknown city, how much of a blessing can you be relying on God's provision but seeking first the kingdom, not your own welfare? That's what we invented as Escape and Pray. Only last June, we said, okay, we're going to dare students of the UK to give £100 and be sent somewhere they don't know. What's going to happen? And 100 people signed up, and we were like, oh no, we've actually created a thing. Whoops. Right, so we went, knowing very little about how to do this, okay? I mean, my mate Luke didn't take a phone, he didn't take his bank card. I took a phone to record it, like make a little documentary as we went, but took no bank card with us, just ended up on this extraordinary adventure. We decided, okay, that's actually a thing, right? Students started buying in. People that we didn't know were signing up teams and giving us money to send them somewhere with no money. Very weird. Anyway, we decided to do it again this year. This year, just June, just gone, we had 330, in fact it was 333, brilliant, 333 people sign up to do Escape and Pray in 100 different European destinations, including these guys jumping on board from the Netherlands and going to somewhere else, like we sent them back to the UK. We had this weird movement across Europe of people going, I am going to give my time and money to go and bless and pray for another campus with no other agenda, but I honestly believe I can be a blessing even with nothing. The whole thing was based on Luke 10 and how Jesus sent out his disciples ahead of him into every town and city where he was about to go. And he sent them out and said, don't take a bag, don't take a staff, don't take a purse, don't take anything extra with you. Don't greet anyone on the road. Basically, go for a mission. And when you meet people, greet them in my name. If my peace rests on them, stay. If they're a person of peace, if it's a house of peace, stay there. Eat whatever's put in front of you. If they don't accept my peace, shake the dust, move on. Go and heal the sick, pray for those that you find and tell them the kingdom of God is near. We took Luke 10 from scripture, we read it, and then we had a go at living it. Let me show you the highlight video, if this will work, of what just happened. Oh, enter the password. Lily. That's a nice picture of Andrew, actually, on her screen. Thanks, friend. So this is a highlights reel of about 50 seconds of 330 people's story. So, like, please excuse the fact that it obviously isn't going to tell you 333 stories. Thanks. Talk to the person next to you. If somebody made you do that, how would you feel about it? What's scary? What's brilliant? Go. My encouragement would be, if that scares you, you must definitely do it. If that doesn't scare you, get yourself on a team of people that are scared and go with them and be the encourager in that team. So it has been a remarkable adventure so far. We've only done it twice, but God has absolutely breathed on it. And I love that the whole agenda is because honestly, we feel like something, as you will have heard in this conference already, and we are hearing all over the nations, something is stirring in Europe. And we honestly believe that although on the stats, our continent looks the most bleak when it comes to churches being alive and reaching students, we've got awful stats. And yet every prophet you come across goes something about Europe though. Watch Europe. I just went to a global conference in Cape Town and every continent was represented and they always church plant with campus ministry. And honestly, the way that the guy described Europe, our continent, was he said, it's like that Bible story when they sent the spies out and they went, there's so much fruit in the land, but there's giants there. And he was just like, we had the lowest numbers of students in churches, we had the lowest numbers of campus ministers, we had the lowest number of church plants, the stats look so bleak. And yet the whole global conference, people were praying for Europe. People had Europe on their hearts. People were contending for Europe. The guys from Africa and India were sending missionaries to Europe because everyone's like, watch Europe, something's going to break. So I honestly believe we're in an extraordinary time where we are known as hard ground, where literally half of all of the world's international students come to our continent to study, where we have the least number of, like, when we tried to do the maths of how many churches we'd need to see, we had this picture of a net across Europe that was able to, like, fish, catch students and help them find home in every nation. We're going to need 10,000 churches in Europe to do that don't exist. That means we're going to have to see a church planting movement among students, no question. There aren't enough communities to connect with the amount of students there are to welcome in. So you see, we can see that there is a lot to go, and yet time after time after time, people are going, something about Europe though. Hence Escape and Pray, I'm not surprised that it went from 100 to 330 in a year of students going, I'll go pray on Europe. I'll go pray on a campus. We had some people sleep on the streets because they gave their money away. We had other people being provided in 5-star hotels, with or without money, just given. We had, I went to Czech Republic, the most atheist country in Europe, walked straight into a bunch of charismatic Catholics who said, this is weird because you've come on the only 2 days in between a week-long prayer vigil that we're doing for revival among students, and it seems like you've come to fill the gap. We left all of our money for the Burn 24/7 guys that were coming straight after us. We just left all our money for them. I stayed in the fire flat. I'm like, why is it called the fire flat? They're like, oh, I hope you don't mind. It's just that all 10 students living there got saved in the last year, so it's called the on fire flat because everyone's a brand new student Christian. Is that fine for you to be in a student mission flat? I'm like, my job is student mission. This is literally a joke. You must tell us one story.
Yeah, I was sent to Croatia, Split. And we prayed for accommodation, and we got a place to stay. And the guy who was offering us hospitality, I was asking, hey, do you know somebody who works with students? And we kept visiting him, and he gave me a phone number. So we called this guy, and we met the next day. And he said, hey, yeah, this quiz, we're having a prayer meeting with our team. So he took us to the campus and invited us to pray for students. I really touched my heart with compassion for the students over there. So there was particularly one girl, her name is Anna, and her name was written down on the prayer list. And we all, with the three of us, we started to pray for her especially. So we prayed and prayed and prayed during an hour for her, and we had all kinds of knowledge and those kind of things for her. Because they shared, she was sort of becoming a Christian, but she sort of backed off because she was finding out that those people were Protestants and she didn't like it. So, but we prayed for her, and when we walked out of this prayer place, she stood there in front of the room.
Wow.
So we said, okay. And the guy who was leading it, he was a smart guy. He said, hey, these guys need to go to the city center. Can you show them? So we walked with her and chatted a little bit, not really that much, but we were there to pray. So when we sort of said goodbye, we said, hey, can we pray for you, because we're here to pray. So we prayed for her, and my friend, he was the guy who got loads of spiritual knowledge and prophetic stuff for her, but he just picked a rose or like a flower and gave it to her and said, hey, God loves you, and then he shared some, and he prayed beautiful words from God over her, and we said goodbye, and that was it. We took the plane back towards Rotterdam, where I live, and I was at home at 11 o'clock during the night. I was sitting in the car drinking a beer, and then I got a message on Facebook from one of the teams, and they said, hey, the girl you prayed with today, she gave her life to Jesus afterwards.
Come on.
So that's like,
come on.
That was happening, and it was like a wonderful, wonderful thing to be part of. So God was already in it, and we just had to do something. So.
That's exactly it. I mean, obviously it's a highlight as a salvation story, but just this idea of, I don't know whether you guys find this, I don't think you do as much as UK students, but we basically don't see ourselves as European, and I know that's slightly funny now because of Brexit, but we don't see ourselves as being part of of the continent of Europe, and yet more and more Christian students are signing up to and paying to pray for the continent, even though they wouldn't call themselves European, they'd be like, I'm British. They're starting to pray and contend for other nations, and suddenly you realise, we are a tiny part of a much bigger story that was already going on, including Anna's whole faith journey, or like last year in Milan, we were like a tiny part of a massive story of one woman's journey back to Jesus, and she prayed for an angel to come and live in her house with her because her whole family were away. We were praying for beds because it was 11 o'clock at night, city centre Milan, and the police were like, you need to get off the air. Who was like, I prayed for one angel and God sent me four, and she burst into tears on us. We were crying because we had a bed. She was crying because God had specifically set her apart, and then her daughter turned out to be studying in York where I live. Anyway, funny. You know when it's just like, what is going on, Jesus? But I'm so up for being part of it.
Yeah.
So pay attention to the continent that we live on. It is not by accident that God is stirring prayer all over this continent. It is not by accident that even us as Fusion have gone, oh man, our whole vision is now Europe, not UK. We are only thinking Europe wide now, and we're starting to see even our year abroad students begin to go, is there something we could do whilst I'm on my year abroad? Yes, we're honestly starting to believe that when people are studying, even for a term, they become scouts, they become church planters, they become missionaries. But across nations, and one of the teams that came to the UK left with like a grand. Like, people just blessed them with a huge amount of money when they came on Escape and Pray. It was like extraordinary, the kind of generosity explosions going on when students show up with nothing and go, can I pray for you? Pay attention. And check out the hashtag Escape and Pray if you want to see lots of the stories, now because that was like a live feed as it happened. And it will be back next year, probably even more dangerous, chances are. What we're going to do in a sec is I'll plug the roundtable, which is where this leads into. Now, some of you may want to go to a different seminar at this point, but it's just worth saying. We're particularly wanting to have a conversation around the table. 24/7's buying the drinks. We'll come sit and really start to dig into what are the stories in this room right now. We've got some extraordinary people to introduce you to who are having a go at pioneering student mission. But also, that's a real opportunity for questions. And it's a massive opportunity as well for going, in my context, we are really struggling with mental health and anxiety in students, incredibly low self-esteem. What do we do to reach them with the good news of Jesus when they won't even leave their rooms? What do we do about the addiction that this generation's got to the internet and the double standards that we live online compared to offline? We can really get under the skin of some of the things that are going on in our generation's culture, but that we want to do far more as a discussion, because everyone's kind of an expert in the room in the sense that if you work with students and you know Jesus, you've got everything you need to have part of that conversation. And there'll be some things you've experienced in your country that we haven't had yet, and vice versa. We must learn from each other. If genuinely Europe is about to break open, and students are the biggest migrating people group, every year millions cross borders to move into other people's cities, we really want to pay more attention to what's going on in the family and join up with each other. Great. What I'm going to do is pray for us all now. At the round table, we're going to get a chance to more specifically lay hands on each other, pray for different nations, prophesy over what we see. Okay, there'll be more interactive time. But because we've got to shift from this venue, go to the person next to you. And I'd simply love to pray a blessing and a breakthrough for student mission for you guys. That's what we do as Fusion. That's what we're praying for the local churches. So just whack a hand on a shoulder, just so we remember that we're family in this. And we're simply going to ask for breakthrough in student mission in our community, in our context. So, Lord Jesus, thank you that you're a specialist when it comes to students, because you chose to raise disciples as learners and students of your way. Lord Jesus, first and foremost, I pray that each one of us would understand we are eternally a student of the kingdom and your student. Secondly, Lord Jesus, I thank you for breakthrough that we've seen in the UK. And I speak that over Europe, that there would be a mobilization of the local church to wake up and pay attention to the campuses on their doorstep. So we speak breakthrough over each of our cities, contexts, and communities, that we would become far more student-focused, because we can't help but love the generation showing up in our neighborhoods. Father, we speak breakthrough where there would be some real strongholds in campus culture, where there is a war on identity, where we're getting stolen by consumerism, where people are getting so anxious about their future, about their finances, and about their career options. We speak breakthrough over that in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, that we are carriers of a different culture, that we can show another way as possible. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would fill each of us now, that we would represent you with great boldness, which is an overflow effect of being full of the presence of God. I pray for each one of us that we would see students come to know Jesus because we are faithful to walking in your footsteps, Father. So equip my brothers and sisters. We speak breakthrough in Jesus' name over Europe and the student mission generation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.